As 2 Corinthians 5:15, Jesus died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. That's part of what new life means to us. So we'd wrestled with God about the lifestyles and the habits and the actions that mark a disciple of Jesus. And that is what the series is aimed to teach and to model. So I think we have a slide of that. Yeah, great. In the last few weeks, we've covered the lifestyle of worship and the habits of remaining in the gospel and being renewed by the Spirit through scripture and prayer. Today and next week, we're going to be talking about a lifestyle of community. So let's pray and ask God to bless our time this morning, because I really want us to hear his words and not mine. Father, we do need you to understand your words in the way that you intended them. Part of this work as a disciple is to follow you, to hear your voice and to discern it. And I pray that you would grant us wisdom to hear you, to see your scriptures well, to understand them, to translate them into action and life as we engage the words that you have given us. Lord, speak to us this morning. Teach us more about community. In your holy name I pray. Amen. So we live life with the local church. God intended for us to live in community and in relationship, and that is how God himself lives, in perfect community with God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in a mysterious and beautiful Trinity. He wanted us to commune with him and with each other. In Genesis, God creates Adam first, but he quickly surrounds him with family and community. And God himself says it's not good for man to be alone. We so often use that verse to talk about marriage, and that's a good space for it, but I think it has a more deeper, fundamental meaning for all of humanity. It is not good for us to be alone. We were meant to worship God, and to do that surrounded by community. What we call the church is not a building or even an organization in its truest form. It is the body of Christ. It is the composite of all the lives and the souls that have been saved and redeemed by Jesus. It is the gathering of all people who call him Lord. Church is people. And some of you are part of that church already. You're part of it already because you placed your faith in Christ. Some of you are still checking us out in that regard. You're still checking God out in that regard. I would love to invite you in. Jesus wants you a part of a body of Christ. He wants you. And he has made a way so it is possible for you to be reunited, reconciled with God, and part of that body. And that is a message that we always want to be sharing here at New Life. With you, with anyone you bring with you, we want you to be sharing that message too. In a very real way, that there is a global church. And there's also a local expression of church, local church bodies. And New Life is just likely one of millions of those. The church is beautiful and diverse, just like all of God's creation. And we are meant to be a part of it. There are ways that we can participate in the whole body of Christ, but the way that we most often manifest our presence is through a local church. And thus, this first community habit is this: we live life with a local church. I mentioned the Bible describes the church as the body of Christ, and one place it does that is in 1 Corinthians 12:12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. We are united in brotherhood and sisterhood by the fact that Jesus is our Lord. When we place our faith in Jesus, we receive the same Holy Spirit. Do you see how this reflection of the Trinity happens even in our salvation? God exists in community, and he has made us and saved us to do the same. This is our core identity. This is our most important club membership, if you will. It's more significant than culture or race or gender or socioeconomic status, as important as all those things are. But our association with Christ is far more lasting, far more transcendent. And when I think more about the concept of a body, maybe my own in particular, I want the parts of my body to work together and in conjunction with one another. I don't want one part off on its own because the rest, they need that part, right? It can't just do its own thing. And if you've placed your faith in Christ, you are the body of Christ. And so it flows that we would live life in community with the rest of the parts of the body. If we are living life with the local church, we are integrated into the body of Christ, and we experience the multitude of God's blessings through that community. And there are many aspects to this imagery and this truth, but I want to bring one idea to the forefront. When other people look at us, they are meant to see Jesus, not just as individuals, but as a community. They're meant to see Jesus. Now that Jesus has risen from the grave, it's been some 2,000 years, we are the physical representation. And we may often be the first experience that someone has of Jesus. And when we claim to be followers of Jesus, people are watching to see what that means. We are image bearers of God. We find this truth first expressed way back in Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And at New Life, we dream of showing people Jesus. We can certainly do that by sharing the good news that's contained in the Bible with others. But we also do it by living life with the local church and pursuing Christ-likeness together, actively loving, actively serving one another. Placing our faith in Jesus and living life with the local church aligns us to a basic position that God intended for us. It restores us to a place of community, and in doing so, we can truly shine as image bearers of God. The world will know we're Christians by our love. When we serve and love one another deeply in community, the image of God is on clear display. But there's one particularly acute danger that I think is on the rise for the church right now. And it's brought about by our increased ability to receive information remotely. You can pull out your phone. You can access content from churches around the world, thousands upon thousands of them, sermons, children's ministries, worship. And it is a beautiful thing to see the diversity of God's body. And yet there's a temptation to treat our faith like an a la carte lunch menu, where we just pick and choose and consume what we want, when we want it. There's a danger to this, that we would be a part of the body that only takes resources from the other parts and doesn't contribute back in any way. Imagine, if you will, a muscle that receives blood and oxygen but produces no movement. We are not meant to watch the body of Christ. We are meant to be the body of Christ. When you hear us say it matters that you're here, we don't mean that it matters that you watch. We mean that it matters that you are the church. It matters that we are together. And someone can watch a sermon on live stream and be an active part of the community while another person simply watches. Can God bring about good from both? Yeah, he totally can, because he's God. But the person who's engaged in the local community receives so much more of the blessings that God intends and is part of that community and blessing others through their presence. But I want to be realistic about this. There are two things in my own personal life that have made engaging community, living life with the local church, particularly challenging over the years. The first is this: it's my personality. I'm introverted. I like spending time alone. Love you guys, you're great, but I can't spend all my time with you. And so there are times when I feel like people are nudging me into a space where they want me to be in community with them. Sometimes God is nudging me into that same space, and my personality is saying, "Nah, I just like being by myself." That's a trick. It's a challenge for me. And there are times when I step through that awkwardness or that barrier, whatever it is, and I experience God's blessing tremendously by doing so. The more challenging obstacle for me, though, is pain. Pain. I have been hurt by people in the church, this church. And with the dynamic of pain, so often the things that hurt us the most, the people that hurt us the most, are the ones that are closest to us. And for me, that's here. And that is something that we need to work through in community. Because when we're struggling with pain from others, we struggle with trust. If we struggle with trust, it's easiest just to step back, to cancel it, to back away, to end those relationships. But that is not what God is calling the body of Christ to do. We need to engage those spaces. We need to engage those hurts. We need to work through them, and we need to stay in community. One way to make all this imminently practical is to engage the two action steps that we have associated with this habit in the discipleship pathway. The first is this: share your life, time, or possessions with a brother or sister in Christ. Some of you do parts of this so naturally. For me, sharing possessions comes easily. My stuff isn't my stuff. In fact, if you need something, seriously, ask me. I just am a caretaker for the resources that God has given me. And so many times I feel God tapping me on the shoulder and saying, I need you to give that to this person. I need you to engage this. And I know that that resource was first given to me in the first place so that I could give it to them. I feel a tremendous sense of satisfaction from that. Sharing my time and my life is harder. Time is absolutely my number one perceived resource, and I feel stingy with it. I sense so many responsibilities that I need to fulfill, and they need my time. It can feel like a very high cost to give it, especially if that, when I give it, it's not tied to something tangible. Like when I do a food drive or help them that way, it's kind of a little bit easier because I can see people walking away with something tangible, but it's much harder to show up at a funeral. And yet both are valuable parts of living life with the local church. Sharing my life is hardest of all. I don't fully know why. It can be hard to be willing to share what's really in my heart with those around me, just always, but in particular, if you have been hurt. And if I'm honest, I have been hurt. I haven't left the church, but sometimes I can leave it without leaving. Sometimes I can just pretend to be a part of the community. I can put the wall up around my heart. It reminds me of what Paul encourages the Thessalonian church. He says, so we cared for you because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. And Paul wanted them to respond in kind. So we share our life, time, or possessions with a brother or sister in Christ. In order to do that, we need to be on the lookout. How do those around me need my time, my possessions, my emotional presence, my engagement? How do they need the authentic me? How do they need to see what's in my heart? The second action is this: join others in the life and the rhythms of the community. Don't just watch. Get involved. Lean into others and let them lean into you. If we use the allegory of music, some of you are gifted by God to start the next song, so to speak. You are generators of life and rhythm. Go ahead, start singing. Especially now when things are so confusing and our community rhythms are so disrupted, we need those of you who start songs to sing them. Some of you think your voice is ugly and shouldn't be heard. And you're wrong about that. God made you for a purpose, and he made you to contribute. And what you have to contribute is beautiful. We can sometimes so easily think that what others bring to the table is better. It's amazing sometimes. But the truth is that you too bear God's image, and you too bear his power. And the church needs that. We need you to sing to. That's about all I have to say about living life with the community this morning. Would you go ahead and pray with me for a moment? Father, we are blessed by the fact that you have given us each to be part of this body, this local church in particular, but around the world, other local churches, and all together coming into a chorus of praise to you. And each of us has a part to play. Lord, would you speak to us about what that part is? Would you lead us more deeply into it? We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Shepherd is joining me on stage this morning because one of the things that we're doing with each part of this, each element of this teaching series is practicing the how of the discipleship pathway. How stands for hearing from God, obeying God, and doing that with others. Which side do you want? You have a preference? I'm going to take this side. Woo-hoo. Discerning God's voice can be a difficult endeavor. Scripture is our foundation when it comes to hearing from God, and we're going to try and practice hearing from God this morning. God speaks, has been speaking a long time through his word. We can also engage him in prayer, but sometimes God speaks and directs us through our times in prayer, and we do feel that we are hearing from God, and when we do, it's important to place what we hear from God alongside the scriptures, because God is consistent with himself. He is never going to call us to do something in a time of prayer that is inconsistent with the scriptures. And so that's always a really good safety net to try and discern, are we hearing God's voice or is it just bad hot dog or something along those lines, right? So it's really important to discern those things. I borrowed that from a friend of mine. I love that phrase. Another option that we have as believers is to run those things through other believers who have the Spirit and can help us discern, are we hearing God's voice in these spaces? We also don't demand how or when God speaks, but God invites us to pray and spend time with him. And so I'd like to do that together in community this morning. And we're going to take a few minutes just to do that now. And minutes can feel like a long time when we're silent, but I urge you to press through that awkward silence, if you will, and engage the Lord and see what he has for us this morning. So for the sake of focus, we have a question we'd love for you to engage on as we're spending this time in prayer. And that question is this: as you reflect on the lifestyle of community, how is God getting your attention? And if you'd like to respond, you can send a text to 734-221-3993, and Nick's going to grab those and forward them to Shepherd and I, and we'll hopefully have a moment or two to read and share a few of those with the whole church. So let's bow our heads in prayer and see what God has to say. Thank you for taking that time to spend with the Lord. I appreciate being in community with each of you. We have moments to do this. And Shepherd, thanks for joining me on stage this morning. It's good to see you.
Hi, Joel.
I really like Shepherd and spending time with Shepherd. There's no one quite like him and his unique personality. I'm a little nervous this morning because Shepherd and Amy Grace are expecting a child very, very soon. So when he rolled through the doors this morning, I was like, hey, it's really good to see you, because we're supposed to be on stage together today, and you're here. It's great.
It should definitely be good for, like, at least 15 more minutes.
Yeah, totally. I'm keeping an eye out. She's still there.
Yeah.
during the prayer time last week, my son came up to me from another room. He was, like, watching the children's ministry program in the other room, and he came up to me. He's like, what are we doing right now, Dad? It's like, we're supposed to be praying, listening to the Lord. It was a good, funny moment. I just thought, we appreciate this next week. Shepherd, as we spend time in prayer and seeking God, and maybe the last couple minutes, or maybe just in life in general, how's God getting your attention with regard to community? Do you have a sense of it?
You're going to love this, Joel.
I'm going to love this. I'm ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Minecraft.
Okay. Yeah. I'll check it with you already.
Because I know you like Minecraft.
I just played some yesterday.
Me too.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about, the worst part of Minecraft is when you finish the thing you're doing, because then you have no purpose to play the game anymore.
Yes.
It's kind of a sad realization.
Yes.
Until you find the next thing.
So, purpose.
Right. But I think one reason I've been playing Minecraft recently, besides a server just starting, is I just can't go anywhere right now, and there's, like, something about exploring this limitless world in Minecraft that's, like, exciting and something bigger than me. Even it's really not, because it's Minecraft.
Yeah.
but I feel like the church, that has reminded me of the church of, like, I got to see a friend yesterday for the first time in a while, and because they've had COVID, we were able to do it without social distancing and just, like, being with someone else and seeing their face. I just got the sense of, like, oh, life is so much bigger than just me and what I'm working on. Mm-hmm. And there's a bigness that I think the church calls us into, where we're focused on all the things that we need to finish, and interacting with someone different than us reminds us that there's a lot more than we're not even thinking about, that's really rich. And I think that sort of thing, that's at least one way that I feel like God's been getting my attention this week with community, is how being a part of something like the church draws you out of yourself and into a bigger world.
Yeah. I felt that too, that sense of purposelessness, particularly in the last year and moments, and just trying to figure out, all right, what do I do next? What do I do in the face of this? It's just tremendously enlivening to have a sense of purpose from the Lord about what to do next. I've been thinking a lot about coloring lately. I'm not a big coloring fan in general, but it is kind of fun. Sometimes my daughter's a big coloring fan, and I just think with regard to community, as I've been thinking about this, and this was some too from just my prayer time and my drive into church this morning, I was just having this sense that God was bringing to mind an image of my daughter's coloring, and just thinking about how so many of you are the color in my life. I mentioned I'd like to be by myself, and that's true. But so often when I engage with others in the body of Christ, I see the picture being filled in with just amazing colors, and I realize after the fact, God, you are doing this. This is of you. Can I try to throw a curveball your way? I'm trying to keep an eye on
it. I can't even say no, right?
You could say no. Yeah, that's
an option. I'll say yes.
Okay, great. I shared a bit from stage about, you know, some of the challenges that I've had just personally engaging community. Do you have anything that comes to mind for you too as you think about that topic, things that make living life with a local church challenging, difficult?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's just being tired. I think particularly, like, I've been sick a lot of the last month and a half, and so, like, my capacity to do a lot of things has diminished. Yeah. And so I really, like, church has been, Sunday service has been good for that, because I come here, and it's hard to come. It takes more energy than I wish it did, but once I'm here, I'm able to be like, okay, yeah, that was a good idea. It was actually good to be here, even though I thought it was going to be more draining than it was.
Yeah.
So I do think there's just a lot of, just a lethargic time for me in general, and I think a lot of people in the world. So I think, like, pushing myself past the point where it's just easier to stay on the couch and to actually do something or connect with someone or, like, pick up the phone and call somebody.
Yeah.
It feels like a lot of it has to do with my, like, I have to make a decision. And if I don't make that decision, it doesn't have to happen.
I'm so glad you pressed through that space this morning, because it was really good to see you on multiple levels. If you shared your text with us, there's probably maybe still a hot second or two more to do that. But let's share a few of these with the church. One person shared, what I contribute doesn't need to be perfect. And I like that, in the sense that sometimes God is calling us to move and to start from somewhere, even if we don't know what the perfect right action is.
I can connect with this one. God is nudging me to trust his inner voice and other leadings. I was listening to a song this morning, and it was reminding me that, like, no one has really ever known what God is up to. Just like if you think about Jesus' whole life, mm-hmm. his whole ministry, no one really knew what he was doing until afterwards. And then we're like, oh, the disciples are so dumb. Like, how could they not see it? But, like, I don't know, we don't see what he's doing today. Yeah. So I do feel like having to actually trust God trust his voice and his leadings makes a lot of sense to me. But yeah. That's really hard to do.
To know he's got a bigger plan in mind, he's still working it. One person wrote, to be faithful even in little things. I think that is a space that God is calling us to more and more in this time when maybe more of our life feels like little things because of the last interactions with people, and to be faithful in those spaces still. Sometimes the same person wrote, sometimes I'm wanting a big thing I can be a part of, but the little things are just as important to God.
One person said, God gave me the image of our church around a really big fire. It's full of familial warmth, comfort, and safety. God spoke these words into my uncertainty around the future. Will I/won't I get married has been a question. There are other kinds of family.
One person wrote, I'm reminded it's worth the pain to be part of a community, and that Jesus knows what it's like to go through pain to be with people. Is very, very true. I like how this person wrote, it can be vulnerable for me to receive help from others. It's so much more comfortable for me to be the giver than the recipient. I feel God inviting me to risk more and receiving the help that I need right now.
Yeah, that's a really great way to be involved in a church. Just ask for help.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And that's part of how we're meant to be, is to not only just be a blessing to others, but we are sometimes blessing to them just by asking for help. Thanks for engaging the space with me this morning. I really appreciate it. It's good to be with you.
We should talk more often.
Yeah, we really should.
Maybe a little less formal next time.
Shepherd and I are both musicians. Shepherd much more current than I am, but he's been leading worship for our staff team every week on Monday, and that's part of how he engages and participates in our community, and it's just a great way to start the week. And so seeing you afresh here this morning reminds me of how much I like the way we start our Mondays now.
Thanks, Joel.